our present reflection will be on the priest's relationship to Christ. And we by now realize Christ our Lord was the center of everything Father Gerald wrote or said on the priesthood. Whether exhorting priests faithful to their calling or recalling them back to the responsibility they may have given up, the main focus has always been on the relationship to Jesus. It was Christ's call first led a man to the altar. It is Christ's grace that sustains the priest in loyalty to Christ. It is his kingdom, kingdom of Christ, priest his labor for and spelled himself in saving. In word, the only one priesthood, that of Jesus Christ, is some are undeservedly privileged to share. Might immediately distinguish between the role of an ordained priest and the role of believing Christians in relationship to Jesus Christ. All of us, professed Christians, are related to Christ the priest as the one by whom we have been redeemed. We also share in Christ's priesthood in sacrificing ourselves to Jesus Christ. But as the present Holy Father goes out his way to explain, there is a world of difference between the priesthood of the laity, priesthood even of the consecrated souls, relationship of ordained men to the priesthood of Christ. Except for the priesthood which Christ instituted at the Last Supper, Christ's priesthood would be only a memory, or at most, something which Christ achieved to redeem the human race by his blood on the cross, and was no longer active. The ordained priesthood continues Christ's priesthood actively. As Calvin, we dare not say that Christ may redeemed, past tense, the world. He must say he continues redeeming, present tense. How? The exercise of his eternal priesthood through those whom we have specially ordained. In Father Gerald's explanation of the priest's relationship with Jesus Christ, there are certain terms that Father Gerald uses. He will spend some time meditating on each of these terms. The first of these is the Lamb of God. The sacred scriptures, and especially the Gospels, are filled with comparisons between the mysteries of faith, things to be known naturally. So too is this. We can say the principal purpose for the world's existence to offer us comparisons, means of understanding the mysteries of our faith. The first of these is the Lamb. As you've already remember, by seeing John the Baptist, Christ is identified as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This same title, lowercase, can be or should be applied to every priest. Why the association? Because of virtues that Christ wants priests especially to practice in following him, because of their unique role in the redemption of mankind. No quotation from Father Joel. It is paradoxical, is it not? The one who has infinite power, nevertheless, he has willed to conquer the souls of men only by his merciful love, by his meekness, by his forbearance. The Lamb signifies many things. The Lamb is identified with gentleness, with meekness, and liturgy with sacrifice. The Lamb is identified in sacred scripture with the immolation of self. So says Father Gerald, I propose to you as part of our vocation, identify yourselves with the Lamb of God. Every priest is supposed to be identified with Christ, who is always not only priest, but how important this is to say, always also the victim. A priest must aspire not only for the very fulfillment of our priesthood in Christ Jesus, not only be offering him, he must be capable of being offered by him. It is impossible to exaggerate the importance of this role of the priest. Not only as a priest's privilege it is to offer the sacrifice of the Mass, but the priest is to unite himself with Jesus Christ in being offered for the salvation of the world. Revelation tells us that, quotes, only by sacrifice does God remove sin. Consequently, only by our sacrifice shall we remove our own sins and those of our fellow men. A priest's life must be a life of sacrifice. Father Gerald, without sacrifice, you're not even Christians. Without specific sacrifice, you should never accomplish in his wholesomeness the vocation to which God has called us. What is Father Gerald saying? A priest's role is, of course, to offer the sacrifice of Christ on the altar. Here he is speaking of following in the footsteps of Christ, not only offering Jesus by being an offering, a sacrifice in one's own person. Father Joel asks, what is the essence of sin? The essence of sin is the refusal of the human will to sacrifice itself even to the will of God. The little entity, the created entity, yet mysteriously immortal, endowed with immortality, knows the will of God, then deliberately chooses its own will, preference to the will of God. That spontaneous tendency of all human beings. So, the essence of sin is the substitution of one's own will for the divine will. What then is the opposite? What is the essence of reparation? The essence of reparation is sacrifice one's own will to the divine will. Instead of the divine Lamb of God, is obedient unto death, even to death on the cross. What Father Joel is saying here about a priest not only being actively engaged in sacrificing Christ on the altar, is a life. A priest's life must be a life of self-sacrifice. Meaning self-surrender. Meaning self-immolation. Meaning giving up one's own will in order to submit to the will of God. How important is this in the life of a priest? Says Gerald, it is indispensable. The essence of reparation for sin is sacrifice. If priests are to be other Christs, that God asks of them the immolation of their own wills to the divine will. Over the years, I've told many priests and priests-to-be, I have told them, the priesthood objectively is a man ordained by Christ to sacrifice the Lamb of God in the sacrifice of the Mass. But subjectively, in the priest's own person, or the essence of the priesthood, the essence of the priesthood is to surrender one's own will constantly to the will of God. As we said earlier in these retreats, what we are saying applies first of all to priests, and also and emphatically applies to everyone who claims to be a follower of Christ, with special emphasis, the handmaids of the precious blood. There was one person who offered herself to God. He was Our Lady. It began, as we know, when she consecrated herself a virginity to God. Then, as sacred scripture tells us, it reached its climax when the angel appeared to Our Lady and watches. He invited her. Not tell her, not command her. He invited her to become the mother of the Most High. Mary knew her scripture too well. She knew exactly what the Messiah would have to suffer. She therefore saw her own sufferings in union with his. How crucially important this is. Our Lady is not for nothing spoken of as the mother of the great high priest Jesus Christ. I think I should spend some time on this. Over these, I've told many people, through yourselves, not in human psychology, human experience tells us, maybe men and women who have the stronger will, no question, women. And this, especially in women, is the hardest sacrifice they have to make. When women like yourselves consecrate yourselves to Jesus Christ, whatever else you know of being a consecrated person, please not forget. Being a consecrated person, especially with women, means a sacrifice of your wills. Concretely, this means that a woman be truly faithful to Jesus Christ in a consecrated life. She must constantly give up her own will, the will of Jesus Christ. We have defined sacrifice more than once. Remember, we define sacrifice, voluntary surrender of something precious to God. One of the most precious possession we have, unquestionably, it is our own wills. And this, what Jesus Christ demands of all of us, to appreciate what we are saying, he must believe on faith. Nothing in our lives ever occurs. Nothing ever happens. Word is everything, is part of God's mysterious providence. And the secret are living lives of sacrifice for us as consecrated persons and see everything that we casually say happens in our lives, see God's deliberate providential will. Now, as we know, God's will exercised in our lives, sometimes for our pleasure and enjoyment, and find satisfaction in God's will entering our lives. But we have consecrated ourselves to the consecrated life, must realize we have adopted a way of life in which from morning till night, from one day to the next, God's will is manifest in our lives contrary to what we would prefer. I keep repeating this. More unpleasant the experience, more painful it is, the less we humanly like it, more difficult it is, the more demanding, the more God wants to prove our love for Him by surrendering, sacrificing our own wills to the will of God. Now a statement of Father Joel. Among the forms of immolation, sacrifices may come either directly or indirectly from the will of God. They come directly from God's will when they are experienced by ill health. Or rejection, or any one of a thousand afflictions in which our own will enters only, hear it, on the acceptance of God's will. And hear it. These are always preferable in a spiritual life to those that are chosen by our own wills, unquote Father Gerald. You can count such experiences in your life. I can sure count them in my own. And this is what living a truly sacrificial life, the vision of Jesus Christ, is all about. Well, then, Father Joel asks, is the role of meekness and gentleness either the life of a priest or the life of someone wanting to become like Jesus Christ, the high priest? It is to become, in our own way, according to God's grace in our lives, literally, lambs of God, is the only important role of never resisting the will of God. I know what I'm saying. God's will enters our lives constantly. Sometimes we sing God's praises instantaneously. God's will may be favorably accepted by our will. We like what God sends us. Repeat, we spontaneously sing the praises of God. But God's will also, and often, for some of us more often than for others, is, hear it, contrary to what we would like. And this is a secret of sanctity. The secret is not to resist this divine will, and how unpleasant it may be to our own wills. I know what I'm saying. With I've dealt with thousands of souls. We are told by Jesus, learn from him, because he is meek and humble of heart. Oh, how shall I say it? How rhetorical we can be in living the spiritual life. The secret of being truly Christ-like is to take Christ's teaching literally. Father Joel asks, what is meekness if not the virtue that moderates our anger? In this case, controls our natural tendency to resent sometimes hard expectations of a demanding God. This, I want to repeat, is truly living day after day, hour after hour, shall I add, minute after minute, the life of Christ. And then Father Joel asks, what is gentleness? Gentleness is simply interior meekness carried into external practice. I am meek, or I do not show my resentment when it's painful in my life externally. I am gentle, when I do not only show my resentment, but interiorly accept God's will, my will, surrender to God's will. Not strange, therefore, to identify a priest with the Lamb of God. We are to be living priestly lives as lambs of God. Why? Because it is perfectly normal to associate the priesthood with sacrifice. But with one important addition, we'll willingly allow ourselves to be sanctified. We're ready we are to submit our wills to the will of God, the more priestly and the deeper sense of the word are our lives, more fruitful our posture will be. That is why the Lord of all ambition, every follower of Christ, will be to echo the words we say to him. Christ is the Lamb of God. No matter how painful the experience may be, painful because it's contrary to our wills, in the depths of our souls we smile. Say yes. Want to be your lamb. We go on. A second analogy that saints, over the years, saints have used, and Father Joel has followed their example, is not only to become lambs of God, but to mold our lives on Christ's shedding of his precious blood. Father Joe could not be plainer. The model of the Lamb of God, a pattern for a priest to imitate, was only the first step in an extended comparison between Christ and those he ordained for his service. We should repeat, and those whom Christ has chosen to follow in his footsteps. remember. Father Gerald says, the apostle told the first Christians, quoting St. Peter, the ransom that was paid to free you from the useless way of life your ancestors handed down, not paid in anything corruptible, either in silver or gold, with the precious blood of a lamb without spot or stain, namely Jesus Christ. When we ask, if Christ is the Lamb of God, shed his blood for the salvation of the world, then priests are to shed their blood according to God's will. You, with the Savior, will apply the fruits of his redemption. This applies, I repeat, not only to priests, but to those who are following the great High Priest Jesus Christ. In my judgment, no single New Testament term is more expressive of Christ's redemptive work, which we are to share, than the expression, the precious blood. Some 20 years before his death, Father Gerald wrote a short essay on the precious blood and the priest. It could be quoted almost in full. I quote several paragraphs. The precious blood of Jesus obviously belongs to all men, insomuch as for all men without exception, the precious blood was poured out on Calvary. Nevertheless, it would be profitable for us priests to reflect on our special relationship with the redeeming blood of Christ. Father Gerald then identifies four ways which the blood of Christ specially pertains to his priests. First, we share with all sinners the blood of Christ has purchased for us, a debt of gratitude which God's continued patience with us, forgiveness of our daily sins, only serves to increase. This applies, I repeat, to all of us. Christ's precious blood not only redeemed us, but constantly continues redeeming us. Secondly, we share. Insofar as we have accepted the grace of personal holiness and the gratitude of our Blessed Mother and all the saints, for holiness is of the blood of Jesus. What is Father Gerald saying? Christ's blood is especially precious for us because he has called us to imitate Our Lady and the saints. If God's mercy is impossible without the blood of Christ, so sanctity is utterly impossible without the blood of Christ. Thirdly, we share uniquely Mary's privilege of bringing the precious blood to others. Her Immaculate Heart is the fountain head for all human beings, but especially was the Immaculate Heart of Mary that made possible Christ's ordination of his men as priests at the Last Supper. It gives us the privilege of sharing in that priesthood. Fourthly, we are to administer the fruits of the precious blood every time, says Father Gerald, we administer the holy sacraments. More specifically, every sacrament, sacramental absolution. And all this needs to be emphasized. Except for the precious blood of Christ, none of us, not a single one in chapel, would be in God's friendship. The gratitude we owe Jesus Christ for dying on the cross, and not only giving us the privilege of being restored to God's friendship, giving us the rare privilege of growing in His sanctity. Then, the prayer of Father Gerald, may the blood of Jesus quicken us to the glory of God, salvation of immortal souls. On this theme of the precious blood, Father Gerald wove practically every feature of the priesthood, especially the responsibility it imposes on the ordained to be worthy witnesses of the Savior, now saving souls, their priestly sacramental ministry. And let me say this about priests, not to ourselves. And I've said before, I should emphasize now, the Catholic Church has been going the most serious crisis for 2,000 years of history. And the crisis is mainly the crisis in the priesthood. Dare I say it unworthily? The enemy of the precious blood has been chosen by God to help in the sanctification of Christ's priests. Let me be more specific. A priest is to live a life of sacrifice. A priest should live a life of self-immolation. But sadly, so many priests are living just the opposite. It may surprise you to have me say this. I honestly believe we got the priest we deserve. The preacher is going through the most serious crisis, I repeat, of his 20 centuries of history. What the church needs is persons like yourselves, enemies of the precious blood, whose faith is so deep, faith so clear, you realize the future not only of the Catholic Church, but I dare say the future of the world depends on the restoration of sanctity to priests. Only God knows, only He knows, how I don't say important, or use the word indispensable. Your handmaids are for the church. I couldn't probably talk this way to most people, but I can speak this way to you because I am sure you have the faith. Believe what I am saying. Realize your indispensable role in the sanctification of priests. Father Jody is writing, fellow priest, he says, I rejoice with you. We're being sorely tried in his labors. Jesus loves you. He proves his love of his, giving you a share in his own sufferings and pain. His father yelled at his fellow priest, My brother, do not drink the chalice of the Lord only on the visible altar, but let your soul be a temple. Your heart is the visible altar. There drink the mystical chalice of our Lord's sufferings, sacrifice, humiliations, disappointments. All of this, your handmaids are specially chosen by God to pray for and obtain for Christ's priests. On another occasion, Father Gerald opens his heart. Young man about to be ordained. It's Father Gerald. With what joy write you this letter? The blood of Jesus. I can almost feel the precious blood falling in my hands as I write. Or am I not a priest? Am I not writing to you who is so soon to be a priest and hold the precious blood lovingly aloft before the eyes of the world, the chalice of the virgin soul? So you are to be a chalice for Christ, with Christ, in Christ. If you will find it sweet, I'm sure for you, it will be generous. But, Father John continues, you'll be happy, but expect to suffer. I'll repeat what I've said at the beginning of our conferences. You'll obtain for priests only those graces which you yourselves practice. You must practice, I mean this, heroic patience. You must love what contradicts your will. But willing to accept what is not pleasing to you naturally. All of this will make you handmaids of the precious blood. The Our Lady was the first handmaid. Everything we've said, Holy Father Gerald, are the virtues that priests need. You will be, I repeat, only the effective channels of grace for priests, and you in your lives practice the virtues that priests desperately need to practice today's sinful world. Among the virtues you are to practice, none is more important than the patient, loving acceptance of the cross. Generosity towards God can mean many things. But absolutely speaking, only as generous with God as we accept his will when it contradicts our own. I know what I'm saying. I've taught and dealt with too many priests over the years. What a priest most needs, more than anything else, surrender his will to the will of Jesus Christ. If priests are to practice patience, The Anthropakos is humility. The Anthropakos is chastity. We'll have these virtues thanks to your graces which you obtain for them, in the measure that you yourselves live these virtues in your own lives. St. Ignatius could not be plainer. Only holy people are channels of grace of sanctity for others. Lord Jesus, you have founded the hammering of the precious blood. The vocation is to pray and sacrifice for priests. But dear Lord, it'll be only as effective when your grace for the priests whom you ordain. They are living lives that are patiently, humbly, self-sacrificing. More you demand of the handmaids, more holy will be your priests. Because then the grace which the handmaids will win from you, priests will become holy. Lord Jesus, we ask you, may the handmaids very pleased to your divine heart. They, as channels of your grace, may be your instruments, sanctifying priests. Because without priests, you would not be present on earth in the Holy Eucharist. Thanks to your priests, you are on our altars, present among us. But dear Jesus, how desperately we need holy priests. Only you can make them holy. We expect you, in the graces to the handmaid of the prayers of blood, obtain the graces from you, which priests need to sanctify souls here on earth, so that millions reach heaven, thanks to your priests and sanctify your handmaids. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.